One of the things about the Passover ritual is it's interesting that the Passover ritual takes place before another major event that is also connected with the idea of the salvation of the Israelites. If you're going to say there were pivotal moments in what Moses did, you might say one of them was the institution of the Passover, the blood of the Lamb that spares the Israelites from the angel of death. And then after that, what would you say would be the next most significant moment in the salvation of the Hebrews from the Egyptians?
After the
parting of the Red Sea, that passing through the Red Sea. So there's kind of two different moments that are here, and they're sort of tied together in this between Exodus 12 and Exodus 15. Two extremely momentous moments that are united together. There is a I'm not sure this connects through in quite as direct a way, but one of the things that we talk about on the night of Holy Thursday is that Holy Thursday doesn't just stand on its own. Jesus didn't just decide to have the Last Supper and to institute the Eucharist just on a random day as though it was disconnected from anything else. The Holy Thursday is also intimately connected to what other days? Well, to the Passover, but I mean in terms of those events that followed in Jesus' life. The Last Supper is Holy Thursday, and what follows after that? Good Friday and the crucifixion. They're intimately connected. You can't separate Holy Thursday from Good Friday as though Jesus could have instituted the Eucharist a year earlier while teaching some other thing. That doesn't make any sense because when he talks about take this all of you need it, this is my body, which is given up for you. When did Jesus give up his body and pour out his blood for the salvation of all? But on Good Friday. So in other words, you can't separate Holy Thursday and the institution of the Eucharist from the crucifixion. They're intimately connected. It's connected in a profound sense. And then you can't separate Good Friday from Easter Sunday, which followed after that. And that's one of the reasons why we unite those together in a Latin word called the Triduum. Okay, there's a great word. It has two U's in it, just like vacuum, like your vacuum. This is the Triduum. Okay, so I'm not sure why both of those words have two U's in it, but they both do. So those 3 days, the Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Individual events, but all connected. And really inseparable. In a sense, we might be able to say the same kind of thing, that from the moment of the Passover, from the moment at which the Israelites leave Egypt, that Passover, the worst of all of the plagues, the death of the firstborn, it really launches the Israelites on a point at which they're thrown out of Egypt by Pharaoh, who says, get out, later decides to chase them down in the desert, and then the salvation of the Hebrews. I mean, it was if it wasn't for the passing through the Red Sea, they would have all been slaughtered on the banks of the Red Sea by Pharaoh. There's an intimate connection between all these events that sort of push one onto the next. As you see, the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, the passing through the waters of the Red Sea, which is another sign of baptism. And so here, between baptism and Eucharist, between Mass and baptism, we have all of these connections that tie together. That is one act of salvation, you can say. Saving the people from the Egyptians. You have these climactic events between Exodus 12 and Exodus 15 that all fit together in one passage. Exodus 12. So here's the Passover ritual. So it's described on the month and of the 10th day of the month. One of the things that's happening here, when you think of the sort of crisis moment as Moses is giving instructions to the people, can you imagine him saying, then, this month for you will be at the beginning of months. It will be the first month of the year for you. To all the congregations that Israel on the 10th day of this month shall take for every man a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for each household. Now, he's giving them month and day. Well, you do it now because I'm telling you to do it now. Why mark the month and the day? You mark the month and the day because they're to continue doing this. In other words, every year on the 10th day of the first month, you do this event. Meaning that what's happening here, by giving it a month and a day, you're giving them a calendar, and telling them that this is to be an annual celebration that you observe according to this calendar every year. So there's already a sense built into Exodus 12 that this is not something that they just do one time, although there is one principal time when it happened, when God intervened, when the salvation of the firstborn took place, and then the people were freed from Egypt. But to remind themselves of it, they're to continue doing it every year on the 10th day of the first month. This is like one of the first liturgical calendars. And just like the Passover, the new Passover, we can say we celebrate on Easter, where we can talk about the Paschal feast, which is kind of related to this whole notion. And then what do? We celebrate that on a particular day. Do you know what day we celebrate Easter? The first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. There you are. That's right. Okay. Which clearly is easy to calculate. I mean, it's, you just sit down and calculate it, and there you are. So, there's a sense of here's this liturgical calendar, and it has it's these annual events that are to be observed. And in a sense, the calendar is anchored by this event. He says this. He doesn't say do this on the first month of the year. He says, verse 2, this month for you shall be the first month of the year. Meaning this event now becomes the anchor by which the whole rest of your year is going to be calculated and determined. Verse 3 and 4, you have this notion of that they are to procure the lamb. Verse 5, we get the description of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male, a year old, you can take it from the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Now again, at the time, they didn't wait 14. I mean, it's not like they waited until the 14th day. These were things. Remember, plague after plague after plague. We're waiting for Pharaoh. Pharaoh keeps saying go. He keeps changing his mind. But again, we have almost a pause in the story in the sense that we're being given a tradition that's part of their liturgical calendar. They are to prepare for the celebration of Passover by getting the lamb at a certain date and preparing themselves for it until the 14th day of the month and so forth. And then the whole assembly will gather, and they kill the lambs in the evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat them. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 9, do not let any of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains in the morning you shall burn. This is the manner in which you shall eat it. Your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I shall pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land, both man and beast, of all of thee, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you. This is verse 13. Upon the houses where you are, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall on you or destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, this day shall for you be a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as an ordinance forever. And then they go on about the unleavened bread. Now, one of the things about the manner in which they are to eat it, there's a sense in which when they do this every year, they are to remind themselves of the circumstances in which they celebrated the first Passover. So they're to be girded, sandals, staff, ready. What does that indicate? And you eat it fast. The fact that you're clothed, you are ready to go. You are ready to go at that moment. Because think back to what happened at that moment. One of the things that the Egyptians would do is the Egyptians would worship different gods, and oftentimes gods were presented in the form of different animals. Here, by sacrificing a lamb, this is actually an insult to an Egyptian god. This is one of the things that you can look at with all the different plagues, is that there are all these various animals, things where the Egyptians would pray to certain gods or would ask certain things to happen. The fact that they couldn't control any of these events, the fact that they were plagued by these different animals, was one by one an insult against all of the different gods of Egypt to show their impotence, to show that they were not real gods. So here, if they're going to slaughter an animal that would be a sacred animal in the land of Egypt, if you're to do this, think about what's happening. You slaughter the lamb, and then you're going to take the blood of the lamb, and you're going to put it on the front of your house. And that, so if you think about what that says to the Egyptians around you, it'd be like going to India and you're going to say, I'm going to slaughter a cow and then I'm going to show everybody what I did. I'm going to put it on display for everyone to see. Now, no one would do that in India because you recognize that would be, might not be offensive to us. I'll have my Big Mac at McDonald's, please. Thank you very much. But the, might not be offensive to us, but it would be offensive to them. So what they're doing is they are throwing in the face of the Egyptians something that will be a grave insult. So why do they have to eat so quickly? Why do they have to be ready to go? Because as soon as the plague falls, as soon as Pharaoh's firstborn was killed, then immediately we see the reaction of Pharaoh, not just simply saying, I give you permission to leave, but saying, get out and get out as fast as you can. There is a sense of urgency behind this, a sense of that they were going to be in flight very, very quickly. And so they had to eat in a particular way, and when they are reminding themselves of this, it says, remember that tumultuous moment, that moment in the history of Israel at which this event befell in one night. It was, and if you want to talk about, you know, a lot of times we talk about kind of being at peace, but then there are moments of great decision, moments of cataclysmic catastrophe, moments at which God intervenes in a powerful way. And they had to make a choice that night whether or not to participate, to commit this, what would be perceived as a grave offense, to slaughter the lamb and to do these things. They said, I'm in or I'm out. And you can't step on both sides of that line. You have to either be in or you have to be out. No, halfway. Either you do that. If you do, you're throwing your lot all in with Moses and with everything that he's asking of you. If you don't do that, then you are not sharing in what Moses is asking of you, and the consequence is death. I set before you life and death. Death and judgment. Choose life that you may live. So we have this, some moments of just great, things of, a circumstance of great moment, a circumstance of great significance. And here it is, the moment has come. In a sense, when we talk about the Mass, we're talking about something equally as profound, even more profound than just the Old Testament Passover. These are very profound things that we're thinking about, and they demand great things of us, as we're invited to participate in this, in the sacrifice. Now, one other thing about the bread. What kind of bread are they to eat? Unleavened. Why? It's quick. Okay, there you have the urgency, the immediacy of it. They said you have to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. Well, what happens when you want to bake bread? Now, normally you bake bread with yeast or with leaven. And when you do that, what happens? You mix the dough, and then what do you have to do? You have to let it sit. You have to wait. In this case here, as they have to prepare themselves to run, to flee as quickly as possible. There's no time. There's no time to wait. So there's a very practical reason why there was no leaven, why this was unleavened bread, because they had to bake the bread as quickly as possible to prepare themselves to be ready to go. He says, you have to be ready to move. And that's exactly what happened. So here you have a practical reason behind the use of unleavened bread, but look at that as that penetrates through our history. The unleavened bread of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread that they have to celebrate for 7 days, it becomes very much an institution. Jesus, when he celebrates the Passover, which we call the Last Supper, is done with unleavened bread. And that's one of the reasons why we have as a command from Jesus himself, and it's something that remains as part of our liturgical law, the bread that is used for the Eucharist must be unleavened. Flour and water, that's all you can use. That is there. And that's why it's not permitted. You can't use leavened bread. It would not, it would be a violation of the way in which we are to celebrate the Mass, rooted all the way back in the Old Testament, going all the way back to Moses. There is, beginning with, verse 15, there's some discussion about how they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the number of days and how they observe that. And I'm gonna pass over some of that. Until we get to verse 21, Moses called the elders of Israel and said, select the lamb for yourselves according to your families. Kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in your basin, and then touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood of the basin. None of you shall go out of your house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and slay the Egyptians. when he sees the blood on the lintel. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to slay you. You shall observe this rite as an ordinance for you and for your sons forever. And the people did as Moses commanded.